May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. Well, if you put your money with the bankers these days, you wouldn't get very much in interest, would you? I don't know if those of you have got anything to invest. 1 or 2%, I think, is about the going rate, and pretty miserable. But apparently in those days, if you put money on deposit, you could sometimes double it. It was expected that you could double your money. So you can make a lot there, really. It's quite interesting because if you think about it, of course, there was a prohibition against loaning money in those days with interest. If you read the books of the Old Testament, you'll see that it was forbidden, and usury. And it shows that they did actually loan at the time, although, of course, whilst it was forbidden to loan to other Jews, you could loan to Gentiles. But I think that probably it was one of those laws that was often regarded in the breach as much as in the observance. But there we go. I've got a little picture for you here this morning. I like this little picture. It's in the Partnership News. This is from my trip to the Louvre the other day. This picture actually doesn't come from the Louvre. This is where I learned all about the weighing of the heart. The weighing of the heart. And this picture is actually from the British Museum. And you can see there the scales in the middle. And you've got that horrible looking character there doing the weighing, Anubis. And on the left you can see this Egyptian chappie with his wife. It's an Egyptian called Annie. And on the right you can see this beast. It's got a crocodile's head and a hippopotamus and a lion. It's horrible. It's called the Devourer. And this was the Egyptian idea of the afterlife, that when you died, your soul, your heart was weighed. It was weighed. And you can see on the scales there, it's the weighing between justice and mercy, which is represented by a feather on the right as we look at it. And his heart's in the other scale on the left. And if your heart's heavier, it'll come down and the beast will grab it, devour your heart, and that's it, that's you gone. But see, in this case, you can just make out that the feather's lighter, heavier, isn't it? It's tipping, isn't it, that way? Come on. Yes. It is, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Yeah, he's okay, isn't he, you see? And this would go in his coffin, you see, this book of the dead. And, of course, the weighing process is important because this reckoning takes place, and it's done in terms of weight. And Jesus today is talking about the parable of the talents. And, you know, we tend to think of talents as being, oh, he's very good with his hands. You know, he can paint or draw or something like that. A talent was actually a weight. A talent was a weight between about 60 and 90 pounds, and a weight of money. And a talent would be worth perhaps 60,000 days' labour. Is it 60,000 days' labour? I've got a cold this morning. 6,000 days' labour. I've got a cold this morning, so I'm not kicking on all cylinders. You'll have to bear with me. Equivalent to 15 to 20 years of work. So a talent was a lot, wasn't it? A talent was a lot. So when Jesus says one man had one talent, and, you know, so I had a lot of talents, everyone's got lots of talent, is what Jesus is saying. Wait. And, of course, there's this reckoning that takes place, Jesus says, at the end, just like these scales. There's a reckoning where God says, right, you were given, you know, this weight. Now, what did you do with it? And this reckoning takes place, this weighing up. And it's very similar. You see this in lots of different faiths. And Jesus is saying that there's this reckoning that takes place at the end, and you have to give an account for yourself. And of course, he uses this story in which one chappie buries his weight of money in the ground, buries it. And these other guys go out and they use this weight, and they make more. And Jesus is critical of this guy who's buried his gold in the ground. He's buried it. He's done something which lots of people did at the time with their treasure. It was common practice, hard to think of now. But, you know, in those days, you couldn't put it under your pillow or anything, could you? You know, they didn't have proper security. So a good way to preserve your capital would be to dig a hole in the ground, put it in the ground, cover it over. Don't tell anyone. And of course, this really gets to the heart of what it's all about. This man's entrusted with this weight of money, and he doesn't tell anyone about it, doesn't share it. Of course, what Jesus is talking about in all this is not your painting skills or your ability to play the flute or all the rest of it. What Jesus is saying is, look, you've been entrusted with a very important message. If you're going to be my disciples, you're sharing in this tremendous privilege of the good news, the gospel. And therefore, it's no good if you go and dig a hole in the ground and bury it and don't tell anyone about it. The gospel's to be shared. The good news is to be shared, distributed. So when you're given this, you have to go out and use it, spread it. And that's why Jesus is saying, it's no good just burying it in the ground. You've got to have a go. A dependable, safe course of action is not acceptable when it comes to discipleship. That's what Jesus is saying. When we hear the message of the kingdom, it's a privilege and a responsibility. You and I are entrusted with a privilege and a responsibility. And it's not about using gifts, you know. It's about the message of the kingdom which we've been given and which we've told to share. And it's a call to commitment and faithfulness. And that's what Jesus is saying. It's not weighing up. You know, we tend to think of this reckoning as, have you been a good boy or have you been a bad boy? You know, have you done good things in your life or have you done bad things? If you've done good things, you're through. Jesus said, this isn't what Jesus is talking about at all here. Jesus is talking about, have you been a good disciple of the kingdom? We've been given gifts and abilities to be used in God's service as disciples. Disciples. Our wealth, our influence, our voice, our creativity, all these are to be used in God's service as disciples. And our presence in the world is part of God's ability to change things. And that's why the church is important. Because when Christians come together, we're a force for change in the world. We bring God's work into the world. That's why, you know, just turning up on a Sunday morning is part of your using your talent. It's making your presence known. You know, if no one comes to church, then the church ceases to be, and we cease to be an influence in God's world. So simply turning up is part of this process, being the church in the world. And you know, we dare not hide ourselves and our contribution and just wait for the end of the world for it all to be wrapped up. That's what Jesus is saying. You can't just sit there and do nothing. That's not an acceptable course of action. We're given resources and we're given the ability to make a change, and you've got to do that. And this is as much to the church as a group as it is to individuals. As a church, we're there to make a difference. We're not just here to come and sing hymns. I'm sure God could hear hymns all day long. That's not important, is it? It's how we worship in the sense of offering ourselves as living sacrifices. And so that might mean that as individuals, as a church, we use our money to meet the needs of others. We're doing that at the moment, aren't we, with Emmaus? It may mean offering our time to serve those who are lonely or those whose life is limited or restricted. They're perhaps lonely or they're ill. And you think of that in terms of our church. We give time in our church's routine for things that we think are important. Things like open house and stuff like that in our community, which is a Christian witness. A very important and powerful Christian witness. It might mean, as individuals, that we use our influence to fight on behalf of those people who feel that they've got no voice or they've got no resources. It might mean using our creativity, our abilities, to help other people, perhaps those who struggle in life, those who have difficulty with relationships. It's impossible not to be a disciple in God's world and say you've got no opportunity unless you just go through life with your eyes closed. I mean, you've only got to read the Church Partnership News on a regular basis. You can see lots of opportunities in which you can offer yourself into Christian ministry and being a disciple and use your talent. Use the talent that's been given to you. So whatever it may be. It's as we dare to do this, as we dare to be disciples, that we become those who help to bring about the realities of God's reign in our world, in our community. And if we refuse to contribute, if we keep these resources to ourselves that we've been given, if we bury it deep within us, then that's not good enough. And that's what Jesus is saying. And you end up, might as well just shrivel up and die. You're not being involved in God's living good news. And the good news is that when we do respond, and when we do act, we've got resources, and God gives us resources beyond ourselves, because we join with all of God's people, and we can really make a difference in the world as Christians. If we share what God has given us, there's no loss in our lives, no diminution. It's only a profit that we get. We get more. The more we give, the more we receive. And this is what Jesus is saying with these guys who, the 10 talents, they get 10 talents more. God gives us the resources as we give to others. It's as we give of ourselves that we receive. And we've been entrusted with a great opportunity. Riches beyond belief. But Jesus is saying that God doesn't condemn us for trying. He never condemns us for trying. He condemns us just when we want to play it safe. Amen.